welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And I'm Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by Fairhaven Health. Milky's Nipple Nurture Balm is your organic and lanolin-free answer to sore or cracked nipples, which is going to be our main topic today.
Yeah, so that works.
Yeah. Today's episode is also brought to you by Original Sprout. Their hair and body baby wash is made with gentle moisturizing ingredients. And we will hear more from our sponsors in a little while. But for now, these sponsors make this podcast possible. So if you need anything, head to our sponsor page and see if there's anything there that you can, and you can give them your business, because again, they make this podcast possible. And while you are there checking them out, you can scroll down and you can enter your email address, and you'll get episodes sent straight to your inbox every week. And before we move on, we wanted to take a moment to clarify something. We had a question about our formula myths episode where we said that formula is not FDA approved. So what I wanted to just quickly read something from the FDA website where it says the FDA does not approve infant formulas before they can be marketed. However, all formulas marketed in the U.S. must meet federal nutrient requirements, and infant formula manufacturers must notify the FDA prior to marketing a new formula. So there is a difference between FDA approval and FDA, regulated. So formula is not FDA approved. However, it is regulated. It's not like somebody can make it in their basement and just go to the store and put it on the shelf. Of course, it has to meet the nutrient guidelines and stuff like that. So if you are using formula, just know that there is, we did say it was not FDA approved, but there is some regulation there. And that's all. Now Diane has our review of the week.
Yes. And this actually came to Abby's. Was this your Instagram?
I think it was Instagram. Yeah.
This came to Abby's Instagram, which is also another way that you can reach us, is through Instagram. And people do send me messages on Instagram too. So we do get those. Or you can send it to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com. Or, of course, iTunes is always a great way to send us a review. And that really helps the podcast a lot. But this one came through
Instagram. If you can do iTunes, do iTunes.
Yeah, for sure.
If not, do the other avenues. Please and thank you.
Please and sorry. Your podcast is literally my only support when it comes to breastfeeding. I'm alone every day with my boy and have no one around to guide me on motherly things. With help from you, I am figuring it out. Comfort nursing is a real thing for my guy. And even through teething, all he wants is the boob. And I've definitely had my struggles otherwise with an early period and a horrible week of trying the cry it out method. Your podcast showed me that this is totally normal and the bond between my son has only grown. He's what people call a mama's boy, but I think I'm his person, seeing that he came out of me. Thank you. And we obviously love this for many, many reasons because, she is finding her way and kind of making her way and learning all the things with her baby by herself. But mama's boy? Like,
what
I just
the
can't.
Actual fuck does that even mean?
I mean, we know. I don't understand. I think I feel like I have this conversation with somebody every day. Like, why do we expect these babies to be by themselves?
What does mama's boy mean? He's a baby.
He's a baby. Yeah.
He's too clingy.
Yeah.
He's too needy and clingy.
So he's a mama's
baby.
Boy.
You're just born. You're born yesterday or last week. Get it together, man. Why do you need me so much? Such a mama's boy.
I mean,
what does that even mean? Like, that's like some sort of insult that you're being, that you're too close to your mom, that you're too, mm-hmm. you're too needy. You have too many, you need too much attention.
And then
it's just
I hear
it like insulting somebody.
It is. And then I hear it on the other side too, where people go, oh, he's just a mama's boy or she's just a mama's girl or whatever. And it's like, but that just kind of feeds the fire, I feel like too. It's like this is normal behavior for babies. Why do we have to put a label on it to make it look like they are extra needy and they need you more? Like, and no, she's
they
right.
They need you regular amount.
she is his human. And I tell people that all the time, like, that you're the person. That's why they want you. You are their person. Like, that has nothing to do with, oh my gosh, I'm a mama's boy. Like, they're not going to be that. They're not like extra needy. But I don't know. It's just crazy to me.
There's no extra needy baby. No. They're just needy. They're new.
You're not going to get away from it.
You're not. Yeah. You can't just be like, oh, I have a really needy baby. No, you don't. You have a baby.
Right.
That's what you tell people. This is normal baby behavior. This is a normal baby. He's not extra needy. He's not a mama's boy. And even a mama's boy? I don't know. Is that people say that to insult them, except what a nice thing.
I know.
He can rely on his mom. What, do we not want that?
It's just,
I don't understand what is wrong with people. This society is so sick.
It is crazy that, and I'd be like, yep, loves his mom. That's right. Because really there is nothing wrong with that. I mean, do you not want your baby to love you? I don't get that. I just don't get it.
I know. Yes, I do meet his needs and he knows that. And so he expresses his needs to me like a baby should.
Exactly. So you are doing all the right things. Thank you so much for sending that to us. You're doing all the right things. Keep responding to your baby's needs. And
keep flipping everyone else off.
Right. Yeah. Because that's really what it comes down to. Just ignore what everybody else tells you. Because it makes you feel like you're doing something wrong. Doesn't it? Like,
oh, it makes you feel like you're doing something wrong. Yeah. And there's something wrong with your baby.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's something wrong with him. I remember thinking this every time I put Jack down, he would cry. Mm-hmm. Like in my stupid brainwashed brain, I thought there was something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, every time I put him down, he cries and he wants to be held. What's wrong? What?
I know, not to put the, you know, they just, yeah. And if you need any more regulation on that, go back to our, we did an episode not that long ago about like newborn, I think, didn't we? I feel like that was a really
normal,
not that long
newborn
ago.
Behaviors. I know.
Yeah.
This is what I'm learning is that of the episodes that we feel like were not that long ago, were like a long time ago.
Yeah, so you can correct us on that. People be emailing us being like, you mean that episode that was like 3 years ago? Yeah.
Right, from 2019? Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where the last couple
years went. I think there was something like, I feel like normal newborn behaviors was like not that long ago. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll link it in the show notes, regardless of how old it was. But I know somewhere along the way that we have talked about how this is really normal. Like your baby does not want to be put down.
In March, we did first days home.
Oh, maybe that was it.
So
then.
That we could have definitely talked about it.
Yeah,
there.
Because they don't want to be put down at all. And that's normal.
They don't. And there's nothing wrong with them.
It's just, it's really hard. And we could go on and on about that, but we're talking about sore nipples today.
Sore nipples.
We are talking about sore nipples today. And it's been a little while since we've done like a clinical kind of thing like this.
It's true.
I think we used to try to like balance it out and do, one about, whatever, life in general with babies, and then one about, kind of clinical stuff. But it's been a while. I feel like there's been a lot that's taken over.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
But sore nipples never goes away. It never gets old, episode on sore nipples.
No, because if you are breastfeeding, you're likely going to experience it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, why does it happen? What do you do about it? Yeah.
I belong to this feeding collab and collaborative and just like a little local group of a few of us that work with new parents and stuff like that. And we meet like once a month and we talk about different things. And there's this amazing cranial sacral therapist that is part of our group. And she was talking about a parent, and this was like kind of going back a couple of years, but she was kind of using it as an example of how this mom had such sore nipples. And she had such pain with breastfeeding that she didn't want anything to do with breastfeeding. And she was felt very disconnected from her baby. And I don't want anything to do with it. And this was her third baby. So she knew that this wasn't the way it was supposed to be, but just couldn't bond with her baby because the breastfeeding was so difficult and so painful. And all they kept telling her in the hospital was, well, you're blonde. So that's why.
Oh, poor blondes.
I know. I've heard that with like blondes and redheads. Like, yes. Well, but you're going to have more fair skin. So it's going to be more painful. What is that their cross to bear? I have, you know, blonde hair. I am fair skinned. So I'm just going to have to deal with how horribly painful this breastfeeding is. Absolutely not. Do not take that as an excuse.
Oh,
no.
My God.
I know.
I've heard that too with like certain like, yeah.
I can't.
Fair skinned, whatever.
I mean, absolutely. Like people definitely, it is individual, just like everything else that goes along with it. Like every person, there are, you know, some people who have very sensitive nipples, some people who do not, some people who have like skin disorders and find that there are some things, you know, with breastfeeding that are more painful. Maybe they get eczema on their nipples and that's, you know, whatever. That is not something everybody's going to experience.
Yeah. People have different pain tolerances.
And you can't, you know, and I've seen that too, where people are like, oh, it's really painful. And it's like, she doesn't have any trauma to her nipples. It can't be painful. It's like, shut up. It absolutely can still be painful because people have different pain tolerances. So it's just ridiculous to tell somebody like, you know, oh yeah, that's just how it's going to be for you. Like, no.
Yeah, and this is a part of your body that has not been used like that until there's a baby on it. You know, there is not, and I, you know, of course, boobs get lots of play in other areas, but they have never been used like this.
Right.
The way that your baby is going to use them is they've never, ever had that type of stimulation or use, and it's going to feel, it's going to be a whole new thing. You can't go in knowing exactly how. You know, it's going to feel, and even if it's not painful at first, it's going to feel weird.
Yeah. Yes. And that is what I tell people a lot. So really the bottom line, like what I want people to know, because we're going to talk about a few different things today, but one of the biggest things that it really shouldn't be a painful experience to breastfeed. Like in the very beginning, we're talking about like your baby is first born, those first, you know, couple of weeks after they're born and you've been breastfeeding several, like we're talking like 12 times a day, you know, like this is a constant stimulation on the breast because of the baby. You should feel a little bit of like, maybe like little tenderness, little sensitivity when the baby first latches, where you might be like, oh my gosh, that is painful. Like for maybe 30, 60 seconds tops. And that is it. Then that should go away. You should feel the like the pull or the tug, which might absolutely feel weird. You might be like, what? Like, this is kind of like weird, but it shouldn't be painful. You shouldn't have that pain throughout the entire feeding. That is a huge red flag. And that is what I want everybody to know. It's like if that initial latch pain continues on throughout the feeding, that is something that we need to fix because that is not sustainable at all.
And I don't understand because you hear so often, like, you know, just power through it. You know, it's definitely going to be painful at first, or it's definitely going to be painful. You know, that people say that it shouldn't be painful. They're just, you know, they just don't understand. But like, we don't do this with any other body parts.
Right.
Like if your stomach hurts, people are not like, oh, just, you know, just deal with it.
Right.
Or just, you know, power through it. Well, I mean, no, the pain is an indication that something is wrong. It always is. That's why we have pain. It's a signal. Like, oh, something's wrong here. You know, if you're walking around with knee pain, you're not just like, oh, you know, it's probably nothing. It's just, you know, that's just normal.
And then what about when you get to the point where like your nipples are cracked or there's blisters or they're bleeding? And I'll ask people sometimes like, do you have like, is there nipple trauma there or are they just sore? And oh, no, not yet. Or I don't think I see any cracks yet. Or, you know, maybe just a little crack, but I know that that's normal. No, it is not.
No,
you should not have trauma to the nipple like that. That is not your rite of passage. Like, and people will tell you that, oh, you know, it'll hurt. Your nipples will crack and bleed and then they'll scab over and then you'll be fine. Like,
ew,
no.
Oh, my God. Ow.
You should not have. And why would anybody do that over and over again if that was happening to you?
No. And then everyone's doing it and everyone's being told to just deal with it because it's normal. And then breastfeed. No. And then how are you going to feel about breastfeeding? Breastfeeding is horrible.
Right.
This is ridiculous. I'm not doing this.
I mean, how are you supposed to bond with your baby? How are you supposed to connect with your baby? And I feel horrible for those parents. Like, I never quite know what to say when they, I mean, I just kind of validate it because it's, I don't blame them. But sometimes when they're like, and then when I know the baby, it's getting close to time to feed, I just don't want to deal with it. And it's like,
I was just going to say, you would start to have panic attacks before the baby latches on.
It's a horrible feeling.
This is not. Yeah. Don't accept that as like, well, this is just how it's supposed to be. Yeah, and I think we do this a lot as women. We are just told to just deal with it. You're such a strong mom. You can do it. You can get through it, you know, and it's just, you're just expected to just deal with pain and discomfort. And then, you know, oh, you're such a strong person for getting through it.
Yeah, it should not.
Stop with this.
It should not. And then there's problems that go along with that. You know, like if your baby is not latched well and you're having pain with this latch and they're like, maybe it's a shallow latch and really painful. And then they're not getting the milk that they need to get, most likely. You know, like there is a lot of research behind the fact that if babies are not latched well, they are not getting the milk that they need to get. So that is going to be a problem. Or you might be taking that baby off sooner because it's just too painful. You know, so it's, and which I don't blame you, but we want to make sure that babies are getting what they need, obviously, but it has to be comfortable for the parents. It really does. So that is your first, like the first thing, like if you're not going to remember anything else from this episode, definitely know it is not supposed to be a painful experience. You should have a little bit of like initial latch pain should be gone in 30 to 60 seconds. And even after about 2 weeks, you won't even feel that anymore. You should be perfectly comfortable. But the majority of the time, what I find to be what causes this pain, the majority of the time is positioning of the baby, like how they're positioned and where we're putting them and how they're latching. So it's often a pretty easy fix. You also have, of course, situations with tongue tie and stuff like that. But the majority of the time, it is something that we can fix with just positioning. So should we let's do our ads and then we'll talk more about positioning. And then we're going to talk about how pumping can totally F up your nipples, because I think that's something that nobody really, we've never really addressed before, is how much that can really cause nipple trauma too. So we're going to talk about all those nipple things. All the nipple things.
Okay. And before we start, I want to clarify. I said before, women are always told to just deal with the pain. That's not just women. It's anybody, pretty much anybody, not like a non-white man, right? I mean, we know that this spreads to like Black community is like very often just completely ignored when expressing, you know, I have pain or I have this and that. Mm-hmm. And then we have people in the LGBTQ community and whatever. I just want to make a note that it is not, you know, it's broader than just when I say women.
Yeah, it is.
So we'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Fairhaven Health. If you are struggling with sore nipples, you need pain relief fast. Fairhaven Health is our longtime sponsor, and they do have a nipple cream. So it's going to fit right in like home in this episode. And when sore nipples turn to cracked nipples, forget about it. It's enough to want to call it quits. Damaged nipples can cause real problems with successfully breastfeeding your baby. Check with a lactation consultant that your baby is getting a good latch and get some Milky's Nipple Nurture Balm. Nipple Nurture Balm is formulated to soothe, protect, and heal sore or cracked nipples. This nipple balm is made with organic herbal ingredients and combined with natural moisturizers to help provide relief and to heal affected areas and even prevent cracks from reappearing. Nurture Nipple Balm alleviates the discomfort so the joy can be restored to your special bonding time. It is safe for both parent and baby, and there's no need to wipe it off before breastfeeding. Head to fairhavenhealth.com, that's F-A-I-R-H-A-V-E-N health.com, and use code BADASS for 15% off of your purchase. And today's episode is also brought to you by Original Sprout. Original Sprout carries safe, effective, and pediatrician-tested shampoos, conditioners, styling, and body care products produced and packaged in California, USA. Their hair and body baby wash is made with gentle moisturizing ingredients such as organic calendula and refreshing rosemary extract. Rosemary helps stimulate scalp circulation and calm cradle cap and eczema. This hair and body baby wash is ideal for babies, children, and adults alike. All of Original Sprout's products are paraben and phthalate-free, vegan, and cruelty-free. Their proprietary formulas contain nourishing extracts from fruits, vegetables, and flowers that the whole family can enjoy. They are not just for babies anymore. Check out the entire line at originalsprout.com and use code BADASS for 25% off of your purchase. And today's sponsors and the promo codes can be found in our show notes under this episode at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com. Our show notes will also include further information about things we talk about in this episode and also at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com. You will also find our breastfeeding resources, all of our other episodes, and information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane.
So, sore nipples. So what else causes them, right? We know that tongue ties or any kind of like oral restriction can absolutely cause that. That is a really important thing to remember. And sometimes there is no other problem with the tongue tie. So I'm totally not wording that right. So let me start back again. but what I'm thinking of is I saw somebody the other day where she was having horrible nipple pain. Like that was the reason for her consult was like horrible nipple pain, shallow latch. This is awful. I can't bear it. And as we were talking, because it was over video, I was like, okay, did anybody look at the baby for a tongue tie? And she goes, yeah, he's got a tongue tie. They told me that at the hospital, but I didn't think that was the problem. So often, and she didn't seem too interested in having it repaired if she didn't need to, which I see that a lot with parents. You've got, it's really both sides of the spectrum. You know, you have people who are like, oh my gosh, I will get it fixed the minute you say, you know, there's a tie there. And then I have some people that are like, I'd really not like to, if I don't have to, I don't want to do anything I don't have to do to my baby. So either way, like there is no wrong there. You have to do what you want to do for you. But I always like to make sure that I tell people, okay, that's perfect. But these are the things I want you to watch for, right? Because if these things start happening, that is telling us that the tie is starting to impede the feedings. So we might need to look at it again. But pain is one of those things. Because babies, if they have a tongue tie or an oral restriction, they cannot draw the breast back. They cannot draw the nipple back in the mouth because they don't have that full mobility of their tongue. So they can't draw the nipple back as far as they need to for it to be a comfortable latch for the mom. So that is a really hard thing because there's no getting around that. Like if it's, it doesn't matter what position you put that baby in. That's been my experience, a baby with a tongue tie. If you're having pain with the latch, it doesn't matter where you put them. There's going to be pain with the latch because the baby's not going to be able to pull that nipple back as far as they need to. So that is really important. And of course, what we hear a lot of the time with this from providers is, oh, but the baby's gaining well, which, and that was the case with this baby. He was gaining great. The baby's gaining well, so it's fine. And it's like, no, you can't have a baby without a mom and you can't have a mom without a baby. So why are we separating it and being like, oh, but the weight gain is fine. Sorry, you're in so much pain. Have a good day. Like you can't do that.
Power through. You're strong.
Exactly. Like just, you can do it. It'll go away after time. Like it's just doesn't work like that. So if that is a situation where you think, could the baby have a tongue tie? Is this why? Then that is something that like it should be addressed and should be looked at by a lactation consultant who can talk to you about what to watch for. Has nobody ever told this mom, okay, these are the things. If you're having pain with the latch that isn't going away, it could be because of the tie. Nobody told her that.
Yeah.
She just thought there was something else going on. As far as like positioning, like sometimes people will tell me, it like if I put the baby on the right breast, no problems whatsoever. But when I move him to the left, I have so much pain there, I can't stand it. Like that is definitely a positional thing. And we just need to work with positioning the baby in a different way because they're just not comfortable on that side. Often I'll hear people say, I think the nipple's flatter on that side or the nipple looks different on that side. That should not make a difference. It really shouldn't. And I know people will fight me about that, but it really shouldn't make a difference. So it is more of like, we need to position that baby in a way that is going to be more comfortable for them and for you. But when I talk about like making sure position is right, babies need to be like, babies are so floppy. Newborn babies are so floppy. They cannot support their head. They cannot support the weight of anything. and we put him on the breast, and we're like surprised that they, you know, that they're, it's a shallow latch, because we're not giving them any kind of support whatsoever. Like, you have to hold them. You have to hold that. You have to support the weight of their neck. You have to support the weight of their head. And you more often than not have to support the weight of the breast. And that is something that I go back and forth with parents, because they're always like, oh, I was told not to hold the breast, or I was told I don't have to hold the breast. If your baby is a newborn, they more than likely cannot support the weight of the breast, especially with the milk coming in. That breast gets heavy. They cannot support that weight. So it's like you're holding the breast, you put them on, and then you take your hand away. That latch is going to become shallow, because the breast tissue is just going to slide down out of the baby's mouth. You really need to support the weight of that breast. And then sometimes I hear, well, how long do I have to do that for? Do I really need to support this? You know, how I can't, if I don't have enough hands. It's just like, no, it is not easy. We totally recognize that, but it will be a better latch. And then as the baby gets more head and neck control, you won't have to do that anymore. But they need support. They can't do it on their own. So you have to support the weight. You have to make it a little bit easier for them, which makes it a way more comfortable latch.
Yeah, I think that's where the whole thing comes in, where it's like, well, breastfeeding is natural, so it should just come naturally. And we realize how much we have to help them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an instinctual thing, but it's learned. They need to learn how to do it. And that was when I was breastfeeding Jack, he was like, by the time Exley was born, he was almost three. And you don't do anything with a three-year-old.
No.
You're just like, I'm not even paying attention. And then Exley's born, and I'm like, hey, you know, latch on, hang out. I forgot all the things that you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I taught, like, whenever I get a mom that contacts me, a parent that contacts me, and that they breastfed their first one or their second one or whatever for a longer period of time, and they're coming to me because there's pain with the latch, I'm always like, all right, this is a positional thing, because their memory of nursing a baby is like a 1 or a 2 year old.
Right.
Right. So that's kind of what they're automatically going back to again, which is totally normal and natural. Like, you just don't think about it, and you just tuck them in. Plus, every picture you see is a baby in the cradle hold in the crook of their arm.
Yeah.
Breastfeeding. It's like, that is a horrible position for a newborn. They have zero control of their head and their neck. Their head will just flop backwards, or it'll flop forwards, which will cause a very shallow latch or a very painful latch. But that's what people want to do, because that's what we see. Or we see these pictures of older babies, and they're in like all these contorted positions, but they can do it because they're older babies.
Right.
And we can't do that with a newborn. You know, and I did have a mom recently who was like, I really just want to do that cool mom hold with you just tuck the baby in your arm. And I just feel like I can't do that with him. It's like, not yet. You can't, but that's just, it'll come.
Do you have people lean back?
Yeah. Oh, that was fun. Like, I did have somebody, actually the mom with the tongue tie baby. She said, I tried to do that with him, and I felt like his body was kind of all contorted in a weird position, because I know you're supposed to have him kind of, I'm like, if you're leaning back, that's okay. If he's like across the front of you, or like across your body, and, you know, he doesn't have to be in this perfect, like, you know, straight line. But she said that was a little bit better of a position. And sometimes that can be. But I also have people that say that they try that position, that laid back position, and it's like, they feel like they can't support their baby as well. Mm. Like, their baby's just kind of like flopping to the side. So it really is about like, what is comfortable for you, but it also has to be comfortable for the baby. Mm-hmm. And you also need to give them a lot of support in the beginning. They really need a lot. They need you to really support their head and their neck and support the breast. And some people say, oh, you know, I heard not to hold the breast because that'll cause problems. And it's like, you don't have to hold it like there's a vice grip on it. You just have to support it for them. Like, it's just, you know, we just want to give them a little bit of extra support so they don't have to try to support the weight of the breast. That's all. That's all you had to do. I know we've gone into detail about that, like with positioning and stuff like that when we've talked about it, but that's really like the bottom line. A lot of times when I get people with nipple pain and sore nipples, it really is about like just switching up that position and making sure that it's okay. And that, and the lip flanging. And I know we've talked about that on the podcast before too. It's like making sure their lips are flanged out, because if that bottom lip especially is tucked under, which happens, it can feel like, it's painful because it's like rubbing, you know, it's just rubbing on the the lip is just kind of rubbing against the breast and it's painful. So making sure that those lips are flanged out.
And you can just
really
pull
important.
It right out.
Yep.
Just pull put it. Your finger in there and push them out.
Yeah. That's like, all you got to do.
Give them the little fish lips.
Yeah. And that makes a huge difference in comfort for sure. And it helps them get on a little bit deeper. And then people also are kind of surprised that they need to do that. You know, well, her lip isn't flanged. It's like, well, flange it. That's fine. Yeah. It's okay.
No, I think that you're like, I remember when I had Jack and I even look at pictures and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I was just like, I was so weirded out. I was like, what am I supposed to do with him? Like, am I supposed to touch him like that? Am I supposed to do this? Or is it, you're like, you're not, you don't really realize that you are like in charge. Yeah. You know, you're like not the one, you don't really realize that you're the one who's like steering the boat or even what that's like to do that, you know, to really take on that. Like, I'm in charge and I'm guiding this ship and I'm the one who's doing this. Cause I mean, I remember just feeling like, I don't know, like I didn't know if I should or if I could, you know?
Yeah. Cause you think it's like, you think something's wrong with them. That's kind of the impression I get from a lot of parents. They're like, but they're, you know, the top lip won't flange. Do they have a lip tie? Because the top lip won't flange. It's like, just flange it out. Just, and sometimes it's part of the positioning. If the positioning isn't quite right, their head is going to be in an awkward position, which is going to cause them to not open their mouth wider, which is going to cause that flange issue of the lips. But it is totally that they don't know what they're doing yet. You said this is an instinctive behavior. Breastfeeding is an instinctive behavior, but they don't do it perfectly right away. So we do have to help them a little bit. And after time, it all becomes very natural. But often in the beginning, it just doesn't feel that natural. So it's okay to
plan. And the more that you do intervene, the more that you pull those lips out in the beginning and make sure you get that deep latch, the more that it'll feel familiar to them. And then they'll learn that that's what it should feel like. And it'll become easier for them to do that themselves as they get a little older.
Do not keep a baby latched if it is painful. Do not, because that is just going to cause more pain for you and more nipple trauma. And it is not helpful to anybody. It is okay to take them off and redo it, which sometimes you'll be like, oh my gosh. Yeah, just stick your finger in.
Break the suction and just start again.
Because we don't want them on where it's going to be painful for you. That is really, you know, and sometimes it's like, okay, they're on. I just want them to eat, get it over with. But if it's painful, just take them off and start again. That's all you got to do. If you do have nipples that are damaged, there are, you know, really good nipple creams that are out there. There are other interventions that you can use. I know there's tons of stuff out there on the market for this very purpose, but your own breast milk will definitely heal your nipples too. So even just like rubbing some of that in, letting them air dry a little bit, that will really be helpful. Nipples will heal very, very quickly if they're not being re-traumatized again. So it's like, okay, you have a bad latch, nipple trauma, you go see somebody, you get help for it, the baby starts latching better, you're not having pain, those nipples will heal really quickly. And you shouldn't have pain. Like, even if you have damage to the nipple, if the baby is latched well, you should not have pain with it. And they'll just heal. But if the problem isn't solved, they're just going to continue to be re-traumatized again. Just like anything else, right? Like anything else. If you're going to continue to slam your foot in a door, you're going to have pain. Like, it just is. It's just, we need to fix it. So that's, and it can be fixed. It really can be fixed. When it comes to like pumping, I have seen this before where people come to me and they think the latch is bad or something. And it really comes down to it's pumping that's doing the damage.
And because people are like, oh, let me just turn this up as high as it'll go. If I turn it up as high as it'll go, then I'll get the most milk out
faster. Right. Like it'll happen faster and you'll get more milk. And that is not the case. You do not want to turn that pump up higher. You just don't, it's not going to be comfortable. So, and sometimes people say like, what setting do I put my pump on? I get that question a lot. I don't know if you get that a lot.
Well, yeah, because how are you supposed to know?
Right.
And no people one are like, tells what, us this stuff.
what setting do I put my pump on? It's like, I can't tell you what's comfortable for you. You really have to go by what's comfortable.
Start low. Build it up until it's comfortable. Or, you know, if it starts to get uncomfortable, dial it back.
In the beginning, like the first, you know, month or two, you might need to keep it a little bit lower. And then as things become more the norm and your body adjusts and adapts, you might be able to turn it up a little bit higher. But in the very beginning, yes, you want that pump on a little bit lower because you do not want it to suction so hard. You don't want that vacuum to be really, really strong. The other problem is flange size. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, flange size, if that is not right, if that flange size is not correct, it can absolutely cause nipple trauma. So definitely make sure that flange size is correct. I think I'm going to link a couple things in the show notes about how to like determine if flange size is correct. I saw somebody the other day about flange size and she had read somewhere that you measure the nipple at rest, or if the nipple is at, you know, rest, it's, you know, and it's measuring such, it's like, but when you're pumping,
oh yeah,
the nipple gets swollen and full.
Yeah, I think you should pump a little bit, then measure.
Right. Measure after you've pumped. I think that would be more of an accurate. There's so much misinformation out there about that.
Like, there just is about
so
everything.
Much like, oh my gosh, just so much confusing, conflicting information about it. But I what I usually tell people is, and I could be completely wrong, is after I would measure after you pump. Because
no, you're not wrong. That's what you do.
So I think that makes more sense, right? Like,
we don't give information when we think we could be completely wrong. Yeah. That's not, no.
I try not to do that.
Pump and then measure, because your nipple will swell while you're pumping. And then that has to be the flange size that you are using. However, and also remember that while through your pumping journey, if it's, you know, going on for a year, your flange size might change.
Yes. I was just going to say that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Flange size can change. And it could be like, you know, you're going along, maybe if you pump once every 4 days, it's fine. But then you go back to work and you're pumping 3 or 4 times a day and now you're having pain. It's like, yes, we need to look into that, because it could be that those flange sizes are not correct.
Yeah. Or, and you're not, just a little like thing is like, you're not going to get more milk out by just turning up the thing. Like the breast compressions and massage, you know, the hands-on pumping is what is going to get the milk out. So just as like a little answer, if people are like, well, how do I get more milk out? If I don't turn it all the way up, then what do I do? Hands-on pumping is what you do, with a very comfortable setting and hands-on pumping.
So if I always ask people, like when they say, well, what about flange size? How do I know flange size? It really, again, it should be comfortable. Like, that is the bottom line. I'm not going to tell you, oh, get this flange size, because it should be comfortable for you. And if the flange is not comfortable, if you are having pain with pumping, then we need to look at how high the setting is and what the flange size is. The other thing with pumping, and I'm probably going to make a lot of enemies with this, is those freaking wearable pumps. And they are great, because pretty much what they're doing is they're banking on the fact that you need to multitask in every way, shape, or form. And I think we ranted about this like in the last episode or something like that, because I know we did. But yeah,
totally.
Those wearable pumps, you cannot see. And I've had people come to me with pump issues using a wearable pump, and they'll put it on and I'm like, I can't even see what the nipple's doing in there. I can't see if it's too, you know, what the flange looks like. I can't see how it's pulling, because you can't see what's happening in those wearable pumps. People just slap them on and go about their business. And everybody loves them because of that. And they're hugely popular, hugely popular. But there is definitely another set of issues that we see with those wearable pumps. And it usually goes down to flange size, because they're just... we can't address it like we can with a regular pump.
I guess we won't be getting any wearable pump sponsors now.
I'm sorry. And it's not like, I know. It's not like they're bad. Like, I don't have a problem with them. I think it's a great concept. And I've recommended them especially for parents who need to pump, and you're chasing a toddler, or you're back to work, but you're working from home and you can type and, you know, do emails and whatever. And it's faster and it's easier. There is no problem with that. But we just need to be cognizant of the fact that determining flange size might be a little bit more difficult with those pumps. So if you're having pain with it, we need to like look and see, okay, do we just need to try different flange sizes? And I don't know them. I don't know of, cause now there's like a new one that pops up every day, I feel like.
Yeah. And we turn sponsors away all the time. So yeah. I was just making a joke. Like if you have a product that we're very protective of y'all. So
yeah,
we're not very, just going to start marketing random things. So no. we turn them away all the time.
But if it is something and everybody fits flanges, like they're not one size fits all. That's my other big problem with pumps. They're not one size fits all. So we really need to look at like, yes, you're receiving a pump. It comes with one size flange. Oh my gosh, it's not comfortable. No, because it is not one size fits all. So there's a lot of other things that we can do to try to make that more comfortable for you, because some people spend a lot of time with their pump.
Yeah.
Oh, it has to be a comfortable experience and it cannot cause nipple damage for you. So if you are having like nipple damage problems or nipple trauma and you are somebody that pumps a lot, that could be something we need to look at. It might not have anything to do with the baby. And I think that's sometimes almost surprising to people. They're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, this is a pump problem. They're like, oh, really?
Yeah. Because people are like, oh, well, you know, breastfeeding is causing me so much pain. So then I'm going to pump. And that's not necessarily going to.
Right.
Just to magically fix things.
Right.
Because I think some people too as well. So because somebody has really badly damaged nipples, they're cracked, they're bleeding, it's horrible. And then they want to pump instead of breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what do you say about that?
I mean, I always tell them, it's kind of a hard question, only because it's like, okay, is that like until we fix the latch problem or
right, yeah,
forever?
Until their nipples heal.
Yeah. And that I've definitely had that conversation with people like, okay, let's take the baby off the breast for 24 hours just to, you know, make sure that just to let things heal a little bit and then let's work on the latch. I've definitely had that happen. But I always say, well, how does pumping feel? And sometimes people are like, pumping's fine. Totally comfortable. Well, then great. Mm-hmm. Let's. We're not going to turn the thing up. We're going to keep it low. You're going to, you know, pump not for long periods of time. That's the other thing. You don't need to keep that pump on for half an hour. So, you know, 10 to 20 minutes is all you need. If you're doing it too long at too high of a speed with flanges that don't fit, it's absolutely going to be painful. But I'll have that conversation. If we're taking a baby off the breast, then we want to make sure that the pump is comfortable. Because if it's not, and a lot of times they'll be like, it's more comfortable than the baby. Okay. Then, yeah. then, all right, let's take the baby off the breast for a few feedings, pump a little bit, and then go back to it. Because we don't want to continue traumatizing with a pump if the baby is causing more, you know, some traumatizing too.
But and if we can't just take a baby off until the nipples heal and then put the baby back on when we haven't fixed what the problem is.
Right. And that's because kind of what I tell people. Just,
yeah, right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And sometimes people will call and be like, well, you know, I tried to do some pumping, but then when I tried to go back to latching, it's still really painful. And it's like, well, it's not just going to fix itself overnight. We need to look at what's going on. You need to bring somebody in to help you with this. You have to. Like, you need to see a lactation person, somebody who can walk through this with you and help you fix it, because it's just not going to fix itself by itself. And you want your relationship with your baby to be comfortable.
Yeah, that's going to not be. Yeah. You're not going to enjoy it if it's painful.
No.
You shouldn't be expected to. And people expect you to. But reject that.
Right.
I swear, when I first started nursing Jack, my nipples were a little sore, and I don't know where, if I like read this or if I just decided to do it or whatever. I started taking nipple cream and I put it on all the time. Like, I made sure that I had nipple cream on my nipples all the time. And I swear to God, it helped a little.
And
like, it helped to not increase like the, of course, you know, we worked on this latch a little bit. I just started to just use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if the like lubrication of it or something was helping. I don't know.
So yeah, it probably was. The other thing that I talk about with parents, because you bring up a really good point with like with the nipple creams and stuff like that, because people will ask like, okay, what do you think I should use? And maybe this is the wrong way to think of things. I am very much about the parent. Right. And if you've been listening long enough, you know that that's kind of where I am with things, and I'm very much about the parent. And if a parent says to me, what do I think? You know, I've been using lanolin. Is that what I should continue to use? I'd be like, is it working? No. Okay. Then no. Then we're going to, you know, is it working? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Then stay with that. Like, but sometimes people are like, no, don't use that. Use this. Or no, you should only be using your own milk. Or no, you should use what is you find is working for you. Mm-hmm. If something is working for you, I'm not going to suggest something else. Or I might say, if you want to, you could try this other thing. But if somebody's like, I don't really notice a difference. This is what I'm using. I don't notice a difference. Okay, then let's switch it up and try something different. But I'm going to go with what you're feeling. If you're telling me that you like what you're using, then great. There's tons of stuff out there. Sometimes it depends on the person, you know, the individuality of the person, like we were talking about in the beginning. Maybe you have more sensitive skin. And we need something every day. I don't think I used anything, honestly. Yeah. But I don't have skin that's very sensitive like that. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was just like, I figured I'll use it if I need to. I also never used diaper cream on my kids because they never needed it. And I never used it like even just kind of just in case. Because nobody said you should use this just in case. But they have different skin. Like we just have different skin than other babies. Like it just, everybody's different. If it's winter and mom tells me, well, I have really sensitive skin anyway, then, and it's winter and it's cold and which causes more dryness, then absolutely we're going to use something more. But if you don't need to, like, it really just depends on what you're feeling and what's helping you. Sometimes people like to use it just because they're like, I don't know if it's doing anything, but it makes me feel better in my head. Great.
Right. Right.
And that's where, it's like, then like it's like doing something.
Yeah. If you feel like it's going to prevent something or.
Yeah, then
that's
it's doing
what I
something.
Felt like. I just felt like, well, maybe this will prevent it from getting worse, or yeah. I don't know. I just remember doing it and I remember thinking that I was really smart and it worked.
You weren't wrong. You definitely weren't wrong. I kind of think about it as like using lotion on your hands and stuff like that. It's like they're being used all the time. You're washing your hands all the time. They get very dry. You put lotion on them. It's kind of the same thing with nipple creams and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're being used all the time. You put a little lotion, you know, little something on them that helps them to stay lubricated. It's totally fine. And it's a very smart thing to do.
Yeah, and some of those nipple creams, they do help with the pain too. It's not just moisturizing, but it can help with
heal.
Like the pain. Yeah. They have like actual like pain relieving ingredients.
Yeah. I did a blog a while back about different nipple creams. I'll link that in the thing too, because there are like, there's some things that you even just can use it from home that you have at home. It doesn't have to be anything super fancy, but there's like lots of options now. There's so many things on the market. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Diane.
Well, I'm happy to help with nipple pain. So, well, if you, it is really, it's nobody wants it. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants it. We don't want you to have it. That's pretty much the bottom line. So I hope it was helpful. If anybody's having nipple pain right now and you're like, let me tap into this episode and see if it works, see if it's helpful. I hope this was really helpful for you.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.